In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. By your perseverance, you will secure your lives. The message conveyed to us in the readings this weekend is one of urgency and of earnestness. Next Sunday, we will celebrate the last Sunday of the church year with the glorious feast of Christ the King. And so as we come to these final weeks of the liturgical year, the Sunday readings and the readings throughout the week have a very apocalyptic tone to them. Some of the imagery that we are given can cause us to perhaps tremble and to be fearful, such as in the first reading today from the prophet Malachi, as he says, "Lo, the day is coming, like a blazing oven, and all the proud and evildoers will be stubble." In the gospel this weekend, our Lord is even bolder with his words, foretelling the destruction of the temple in Jerusalem and the persecutions that the Christians will have to endure over time, even by friends and by family members. And he also today alludes to the end times as well. Again, these may be frightening, disturbing, and sobering realities that our Lord so solemnly foretells. But nevertheless, they are for a purpose, for several purposes, actually. One of these purposes, we might suggest, is for Christ to prove himself to future generations. For example, today he foretells the destruction of the temple in Jerusalem with his words, "All that you see here, the days will come when there will not be left a stone upon another stone that will not be thrown down." The temple, we know, was destroyed in the year 70 AD by the Romans. It was an event that the author of this gospel that we read today, St. Luke, never got to see. But he wrote about it, but never got to see it because he was martyred before the event took place, before the temple was destroyed. And so once the temple was destroyed, many remembered the words that the Lord had spoken, the fact that he had prophesied about the temple being destroyed, and thus it further proved who he said he was, that he is God. Another purpose for this rather gloomy and dismal talk that we hear today is to show us that the Christian life, that is, the narrow way, is just that. It is not the popular way to go. Everybody is living a sinful life, so I guess it's okay for me to do so too, mentality is completely contrary to what it means to be a follower of Christ. And unfortunately, this is a mentality that our world, our society, our culture tends to promote. And unfortunately, there are many Christians, many Catholics who fall into this mentality from time to time. But the Christian life is the most heroic and attractive life to embrace and to live out, because the end goal is far greater than any earthly honor or any pleasure or any self-gratification that we could ever attain. The end goal ultimately is eternity with God in heaven. It's the everlasting crown of glory that does not fade. It is that which truly satisfies us and fulfills us and makes us truly happy. And brothers and sisters, it's well worth the good fight. We aren't given a participation trophy in heaven and the pat on the back saying, "Well, nice try." But rather, we receive through our faithfulness an unfading crown of glory, and we will hear those blessed words so long as we are faithful to Christ and his church. "Well done, good and faithful servant. Enter now into the joy of your master." The scriptures do not say that we will hear, "Well done, mediocre and complacent servant," but rather, "Well done, good and faithful servant. Enter now into your master's joy." Finally, the greatest purpose of these destructive images and prophecies and the miserable image that is painted for us in these readings today is to increase in us the virtue of hope. The message conveyed to us today in the scriptures does give us hope. Yes, there is going to be wars and insurrections, earthquakes, famines, plagues, our Lord says. There will be persecution of Christians by kings and governors, governments and empires. Followers of Christ will even see their own family members and friends, their parents, siblings, friends, turn against them and even put them to death, our Lord prophesies. And we know this to be true because we've seen this in the life of the church and several of the lives of the saints. "You will be hated by all because of my name," says our Lord. "But not a hair on your head will be destroyed. By your perseverance, you will secure your lives," our Lord promises us. So we can rejoice and find comfort in the fact that Christ foretold such things were going to happen. And he tells us these things as if to tell us, do not worry. Stay faithful to me. Be not afraid. That is why our Lord speaks in the terms that he does today. He also speaks in these terms, and we find comfort in the fact that he endured all of this for us first. He carried the cross for us. He has led the way like any good shepherd would do. But there are often two obstacles to this perseverance that our Lord speaks about. The first obstacle is the devil himself, the ancient foe, our greatest spiritual enemy. The devil wants to take out Christ's soldiers. He wants to eliminate and to weaken the church militant. And one of the cruelest ways that he does this is to tempt us to think that the narrow way in following Christ is too difficult. It's too hard. It cannot be accomplished. Or even worse, it doesn't even matter. God is just a dictator. He doesn't really love you, the devil might tempt us to think. And the flame of zeal and love may die out in our hearts, and we might fail to persevere if we give in to such temptations. The devil also wants to cause division within ourselves and with the good people around us. He knows that as we seek to persevere and to follow Christ, that we need good, holy friendships and good, holy relationships in order to do so. And if we find ourselves in toxic groups or surrounding ourselves with toxic people who lead us away from doing virtuous things, lead us away from God, then we need not be around those people. It's pretty simple. God wants us to have good and holy friendships and good and holy relationships. And if we find ourselves around toxic people who lead us away from God, then we need to remove ourselves and truly seek good and holy friendships. But the devil also knows that our devotional life is what keeps us afloat and keeps that fire of faith burning within us. And so he might tempt us to think, well, what good do these devotions really do? What good does the rosary really do? It's just a repetitious prayer, and really, you can't keep it up. And how many of your prayers has God not answered? These might be temptations that might come into our minds, but we must indeed fight them off. The devil is an obstacle to our perseverance, yes, but we must not allow him to have the upper hand, brothers and sisters. The devil's power is limited, ultimately, but we must rely upon God to see us through these temptations and to fight the good fight in spiritual battle. The other obstacle to our perseverance is none other than ourselves. When we first begin to trod down the path of prayer and the practice of virtue, things may seem easy for a time. But as we progress, as we deepen our spiritual lives, difficulties may come. And whenever they do, we might tend to lose our zeal, or we can even become lukewarm. But in these moments, brothers and sisters, when difficulties do come, when we maybe find ourselves surrounded by various trials and heavier crosses, we must recognize that those are our crosses that we are given to bear that will carry us to heaven. Did not our Lord say that in order for us to be his disciple, to follow him, we must take up our cross daily out of love for him and follow him? So if there are no crosses or difficulties as we seek to progress in the Christian life, then perhaps we're avoiding them and seeking to take the easy way out. But brothers and sisters, there is no easy way to heaven. As the great Archbishop Fulton J. Sheen once said, heaven is a city set on a hill. Therefore, we cannot coast into it. We must climb. We must climb. But brothers and sisters, that should not cause us to lose heart or to lose hope or to be afraid. But rather, it should give us hope, because we recognize that if our Lord destines us to be in heaven, he's not going to leave us without the tools that we need in order to get there. He gives us everything that we need. He gives us the church. He gives us the graces of the sacraments. He gives us the saints. He gives us the devotional life. And ultimately, he gives us himself, especially in the Holy Eucharist. We have everything that we need to persevere and to secure our lives for eternity. The gospel message this weekend indeed presents a very powerful challenge to us, but also a great encouragement. As we do see so much going on in the world around us, and even to an extent in the church, we see so much turmoil and disruption. We see scandal. We see Catholics walking away from the faith and not practicing it anymore. We see war, death, famine. But all glory be to God, brothers and sisters, for these challenges, because these challenges come as opportunity for us to grow and to become the saints that God calls us to be. So you hear me say from time to time, we're in dark times. We all know this. It's pretty evident. The dark times are saint-making times. The Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away, and blessed be his name forever. The church indeed has seen times of war, of insurrection, plague, heresy, division, all throughout her history from the very beginning. But the reality is she is still here because she is the bride of Christ, and our Lord will never abandon her. The world passes away, but God does not. The church that Jesus Christ himself established will be here until the end of time and to assist us in getting to heaven, to continue to help us to climb towards heaven. So let us cling to Christ. Let us cling to the Blessed Mother. Let us cling to Saint Joseph and the saints, and let us allow the words of the gospel that we hear today to remain deeply rooted within us and to inform and to shape our lives. Last week, and I encourage you all to think about and pray about three spiritual non-negotiable practices that you can take on for yourself. That is, three spiritual practices on a daily basis where you do not allow a day to go by without engaging in these three practices. And whether that's the praying of the rosary, whether that's reading the scriptures, whatever those daily practices may be. Well, this week I'm going to give you a similar encouragement and challenge to think and to pray about maybe one or two weekly spiritual non-negotiable practices that you can engage in. Maybe it's coming to an extra mass during the week. Maybe it's having a devotional on the throughout the week on various days, like on Wednesdays to Saint Joseph, Fridays to the Sacred Heart, Thursdays to the Eucharist, Saturdays to the Blessed Virgin, whatever it may be. But think about one or two weekly spiritual non-negotiable practices that you can engage in to help deepen your life and help you to persevere in your faith. But dying little deaths each day and each week and making good use of the sacraments and the devotional life of the church, if we do this, we will live up to the words we hear at the end of the gospel today. By your perseverance, you will secure your lives. And you will secure your lives for eternity. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.